Well, then I'd like to give you a warm welcome to Quest. We're really glad you're here. And if you're here for the very first time, we're really, really glad you're here. My name's Kevin, and I'm on the pastoral staff team here, and it's a privilege to be able to serve you. So thank you for coming. This morning is one of those important Sundays, I think, for our church. We as a church over the last several years have made a significant connection with the nation of Haiti and with the island of Laganav and with the city of Anse-Galet. And a particular part of that city in a unique way is a place called the Saline, which is basically the salt flats. And it's usually the poor of the poor and the forgotten of the forgotten who live there. And so we have some things that we would like you to know about, because last Christmas time, we took an offering over a month's time to try to rebuild and in fact a school there that had kind of fallen down and didn't exist anymore. And so you thought, you can't have a school without a school, right? So you got to build a school. So we decided what we wanted to be a part of that. So I'd like to invite Steve Hinchin and John Rayner up here, and I'd like to give them a few minutes to explain how that project has gone and where it's at today, and some of the other things that we've done. So Steve and John, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Does this one work? Hello?
There you go. Use this one.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Wow. Good morning, everyone. We'd like to start real quick with our history and what we've done as Quest in Haiti, and particularly in Anse-Galet, and in conjunction with WISH. Our history actually starts with this gentleman over here going down there, what, about 11 years ago, along with our friend Bob. That's when I think I first heard anything about anything to do with Haiti. From there, we moved forward over the years to a project in 2000, and I'm going to look up the date, make sure I get it right, 15, where we built a house for Madame Zette and her family. And there's a picture of it. No? Yes? Maybe? Oh, well.
That's not it. The house is looking different.
Wow. That's some house, isn't it? So while they're working on that, I'll just keep going because we have a lot to talk about today. The next year was actually my first trip down there. I went with John and Mike Roman and a couple others, and we built a feeding center. We worked, as you all know, we worked on the feeding center for Pastor Foglas. At that time, they were serving the kids their lunch and sometimes their dinners out in his front yard, basically in the rain with a blue tarp over their heads. And there's a picture of the feeding center, so we have the picture up now. And that's feeding in action there. From there, the next year, we actually took two teams down, two separate weeks, and we put a roof on we worked with other teams to put a roof on the youth center, which is a very active building now. And I will say that that was the first time I got to see, well, the second time, but the first time I saw how much of a monkey my friend Mike Roman is. What do you think? That was about, 25 feet in the air, give or take?
It was higher than I want to go.
Yeah, exactly. So that was that. And then we also built that little tiki hut thing there called, we call it Kai Quest. And it's a nice shaded area right there by the basketball court. It's actually a nice area to congregate. You can even sit on the steps, as some people have done. Better than working. Yeah, that's about right. And then from there, the year after that, we worked on a vocational training center, which used to be part of the weld shop for WISH. And now it's an area where they do training for different things, different areas, different expertise, people hold classes there, and so on. And then we moved on from that to working with Pastor Foglas in the school, and I'm going to let John talk about it.
Yeah, you'll recall that last Advent conspiracy, you all very generously raised a good deal of money to help put the school back in operation. The school had ceased operation, buildings had collapsed, and there was a need to revitalize the school for the children on the Saline. So through Quest donations, through Robin and Beth and their efforts working with the Haitians, we put Haitians to work rebuilding the school, and got teachers rehired with some of the money that you all gave. And the good news is the school is in operation. And we want to give you a very short video tour of what it looks like inside that school today. There's still more work to be done, but But take a look at what's happening today on the saline because of the generosity of you all here at Quest. So thank you. So, again, thank you for your generosity, and we praise God for his goodness and his continuing work in Haiti.
All right, well, I think those sounds are sounds of joy to me, and I hope they are to you, too. This morning I'd like to introduce Robin and Beth. So if I could have them, Robin and Beth, come forward just for a moment before the group over there. Let me just introduce them. They're going to share with us some things that God has taught them in a place that you would, well, you'd expect God to teach you, but they've taught them many things that they've learned. So let me just introduce you to give a context just for a little bit. Robin is originally from Halifax, Nova Scotia. He's a Canadian, And so, and then Beth is originally, so I think she was born in Indiana, grew up in New Jersey, then went to college in Illinois, and then they met. They had a family. They have how many kids? Five or six? Five. They're going to tell. Okay, so they have a bunch of kids, and they have done life together. Beth was a homeschool their kids, and when you raise a family that big, it's a busy world, right? And then also, Robin was 29 years on the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Force. They call them the Force inside the system there, so he's part of the force. And then after the kids were raised, Beth also worked for the force. So I'm telling you, don't mess with the force, okay? The Royal Canadian Mounties don't really have an equivalent here in the United States. They're a federal agency that kind of goes coast to coast, and they work very intimately with municipalities and with the provinces, and they do a lot of amazing things. He, for a while, was 3 years with the human trafficking. And that is a difficult place to work. But I would say this. There is a motto. I won't say it right. It's in French. But it's a maintains le droit, something like that. And it means to maintain what is right. And this couple has a unique commitment to doing what is right for those who are disenfranchised, left out, invisible. And I think there is a compassion and a commitment to that that has boiled over into the way that they minister there in Haiti. And there is a compassionate and organized and respectful way they do the ministry. And I think Beth has this unique prophetic voice to care for those who have been left out. And that sometimes is a difficult place to be. But this couple has been a just joy for us as we've gone down there. So before we speak, we have something we'd like to present to you guys. So Karen, if you could come up with your entourage. And Karen has some things that, Karen, are you going to present?
Good morning. The children have, I've been communicating with Beth and asked, you know, what are some of the needs? And the needs are plentiful. But one of the things they asked for was some encyclopedias for the school that the school can actually share. And so the kids have been bringing in their pennies and quarters and dollars, and the as they've been so faithful to do that. And so the church matched what the kids were able to bring in. And we would like to present you with a check. Can you turn it around for them? To use it for school supplies or whatever, however you can best use it. Can show it to them? Show it to Beth. We thank you for the work that you do. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
The entourage will go back off of the stage. I love that entourage. Hey, kids, thank you. Great job, guys. So this morning, I'd like to pray and ask the Lord. Well, I'm going to ask him. I won't tell you what I'm going to ask him. I'm just going to pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege that you've given us as a church to connect in Haiti, in Laganav, and on Saguenay. Thank you for the privilege that we've had to be a partner with WISH. And we're really grateful for Robin and Beth and their hearts that you have developed over the years to invest in the unique way that they do. Thank you for what you've taught them, and thank you that they will share with us the things that they've learned, and may you touch our hearts. May we consider deeply the things that you have done, and maybe you want to do in us. And so to that end, we surrender ourselves to this particular time to hear your voice, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having us here. We are really, really thankful for Quest Church and for the men and women who have come down to visit and to invest so much in the community of Antsagalay. 4 years ago in 2015, our family moved to Haiti on the island of Laguenave for the first time. And as he said, before that, we hadn't been in full-time ministry. So for our son and daughter, Peterson and Gael, and for Robin and myself, it was quite the transition. In 2010, our family, we were privileged to become a family with two children from Haiti, and Peterson and Gael, and because of that, Haiti is the birth, their birth country, it was important for our older children to experience Haiti. And so Robin has taken each one of our older kids, and we have five kids, and one of them is married, so that's six, to see what Haiti was like. And it's because of that involvement and visiting Peterson and Gael's birth country that our hearts have really been touched and opened to living and serving and working in Haiti.
Yeah, and so for those of you that have been down there, and I'm sure some of the information that's been shared on the stage here, you know that WISH is kind of primarily an infrastructure type of organization, and where we have a significant ministry in the community. We provide water to about 40 to 60,000 people. And it has 18 public fountains around town. And aside from that ministry, we have some other significant ministries as well. We have an ice house. We have a resource center where lots of pastoral training goes on and other events that feed into the education in the community, all Haitian-led. We have a youth center that's been a tremendous blessing to the community, a real safe place for the kids, as well as an airport and a dental clinic and a nursing residence for student nurses that are going to the university there. So it's a really kind of broad ministry that focuses on bringing dignity into the community, and it's been a real blessing to be a part of that.
This morning we'd like to share through Haitian proverbs. And we use proverbs and saying as well, but Haitian proverbs kind of take it up a notch. because sometimes it's not very obvious what it means. And in particular, Jean-Baptiste, who works for Wish, speaks in Haitian Proverbs all the time. And Robin will say, okay, I understand what you're saying, but I don't know what you mean. So we're going to use four Haitian Proverbs to kind of share what our past 4 years have been like for us. And the first one is, avant un monte bois, gade, si ou cade san li. So before you climb a tree, look to see if you can get down. In other words, make sure you know what you're getting into. And that's good advice, mainly. But what I've discovered about myself, and isn't this the case, that so often we think we're going to serve others, but God really ministers to us and opens up our heart to a message that he has for us. And in this case, the message is for us, I think, that I want to know what's ahead of me. And I think if I can know what's coming up, I'm going to be okay. I can control the outcome, I can control myself, I can control others, and I'm not going to get hurt, and others aren't going to get hurt, and everything's going to be fine. And unfortunately, that's not the case. There are a lot of times, maybe I can see what's coming ahead, maybe I can't. Maybe I'll get hurt, maybe I won't. But God is still in control no matter what, not me. And so this is a lesson we've learned, and Robin's going to share.
Back shortly after we got there, when we arrived in 2015, the country had, particularly the island of Lagana, had been going through a drought. And so this was about 4 years into this drought. And so not a lot of water in the water line, and people were getting desperate. And so what happens when people are desperate for water? They go out in this particular community, and some of them would break the water line. They could take a machete and hack into the water line and cause a lot of stoppage in the water flowing into the community and cause grief. And so about once a week for the first long while, we would be out repairing the water line, replacing a pipe, which are very expensive, and just a lot of frustration. And there was one particular week where the water line within 2 days had been damaged three times. And so the second time on this second day, I said, this is enough. You know, I'm going to do something about this. And I wave my arms in the air and show my indignation. And the police need to be involved in this. Why aren't the police taking care of this? And so down to the police station we go and demand a response. And then the crew and myself head out to the water line to repair it. Just a little side. People say, well, Robin, what would ever happen if you weren't there to fix the water line? And I say, well, the only thing that would happen is I wouldn't be able to put a picture onto Facebook, because that's pretty much all I do. The team really knows what they're doing and repairing this water line. So anyways, we go down to the water line. They fix it, and the police are waving their guns in the air to make a demonstration. And they end up arresting this sand miner that's further down the line. And not treating him with the respect and dignity that we would want to be treated with. And really kind of abusing him. And I was starting to feel kind of bad about this, because it was me that put this thing into motion by flailing my arms and demanding a response. We get back after the water line was repaired. We go back towards the police station, and there's a big crowd gathering outside the police station. And the police are looking for some sort of a response from us and gratitude for taking care of the situation, and, you know, so that they can demonstrate to the public that, yes, they're doing a great job. And it just made me feel sick to my stomach. And then later to find out that really the sand miner had nothing to do with the break in the water line. He spent 2 days in jail being abused and threatened, and then was released afterwards. I didn't feel very missionary-like. And part of that was because I thought I knew how to address this problem, and I didn't have a clue. I didn't speak with the wisdom that was all around me and gentlemen like Jean-Claude and Jean-Baptiste, and I tried to handle this myself, and as a result, I failed dramatically. And so this, not knowing what the outcome is, in some cases we do need to know, or at least we need to make an attempt to know how to get down from something. And the best way for us to do it in a context in which we really don't know a whole lot is to depend on the wisdom that God has provided all around us, and depend on the community that we're in the middle of to help us navigate through some of these situations.
The next proverb is, Radsa lave non fami. So dirty clothes are washed with the family. And the meaning of that is family issues must be solved within the family. Outsiders are not involved. And so we are the directors of WISH. And WISH has been in the community of Onsegalay for 50 years. And there have been some amazing programs throughout the past 50 years that have been started, have been successful, and have been moved on to another program. And WISH provides water for the entire community, up to 40,000 people, 18 public fountains, schools, churches, some businesses, the hospital. And so we come in and think, oh, we're part of this community. Look at what WISH has done. And start to feel maybe a little bit prideful in that. And then the reality is, if we go in with an attitude of we're in charge and we know what to do, we're not part of the family. We continue to be outsiders. And so the question we ask ourselves is, how can we move forward with God and his wisdom and his discernment and still walking with our community?
It seems to me I'm the one that's always learning these lessons. Here a couple of years ago, there was another organization in the community that WISH had kind of partnered with on many projects over the 20 years that they were there, and called Concern Worldwide. And they got to a point in their ministry where they felt that it was necessary for them to leave the island. So in their leaving of the island, they left us with about $250,000 worth of well drilling equipment. We are not a well drilling organization, but they had over 100 applications for this material, but they felt that WISH was the only place that they could leave it, knowing that it would be used for the broader community. So I felt a responsibility for that and thought it was a great blessing that WISH would receive that. We signed MOUs, memorandums of understanding between the mayors of the two large communities there, and sought wisdom, on how we were going to move forward with this. And I thought that at this point now, I'm working within the community. And so the very first request comes for a well to be drilled up in the mountains. And we're just kind of basically going to be managing the equipment for this to be used out into the community. So the technicians come in. There were promises made everywhere. And there was this desperation, the community needs water now. It needs water now. So out the equipment goes with this technician who had been working for this other organization prior to, so he knew it really well. It's gone for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I start to inquire. It was only supposed to have been gone for 2 weeks. Start to inquire where the equipment is, why isn't it coming back? And, well, we've run into some problems, and we need to keep it longer. A couple months, 3 months, 6 months. And I keep asking the mayors, why isn't this equipment coming back to us? This equipment belongs to WISH essentially, but is used for the greater community. And I'm starting to hear rumors that the equipment is being used for other things. Upwards of 9 months, finally, the equipment came back. But it only came back when the two bosses, Jean-Claude and Jean-Baptiste, came up to me and said, Frère Robin, you can no longer talk to the mayors about this stuff. Please let us deal with this, and we will get the equipment back. And may not be, exactly how we expect it to be, but we'll get the equipment back and we'll move on from there. So sure enough, they were able to work within their context and within their family and get this equipment back. And one of the things that just kind of really puzzled us is, why wasn't the community more indignant about this one person using this equipment for their own personal benefit? And we soon came to find out there was some wisdom that was kind of spoken into our lives. But we weren't truly a part of the community because we still make the rules, when we're dealing with some of this stuff. And he was using that equipment to benefit his particular little community, to bring resources into his particular little community. And in a place like Haiti, that's survival and that's celebrated. We are still seeing kind of on the outside of things. And so we really, again, need to continuously ask ourselves, how do we move forward and seek the wisdom of those that are around us? I can speak Creole, but for some reason I can't seem to read it all that well, so I'll try. Garçon con bouquet, mais pas femme, which means men experience fatigue, but not women. We actually read this. We read this to a Haitian last night. We were visiting with some friends, and he's a Haitian man, and he's married to an American lady. And he sat there very stern, like I think he was a little offended at this.
And she laughed.
And she laughed hard because she knows it's true. Is that women are the backbone of the culture and of the society there, and men can become tired and they will rest, but women do the work. And they're the cookers and the cleaners, and the household is just a lot of work. They don't have a lot of the amenities that we have back here. And yet, men tend to get all the advantages in society. When there are teams coming, it's typically the men that are advantaged and are, you know, they get the jobs and they receive some resources. Meanwhile, the women are at home and don't. When there is training available, it's typically men and boys that show up, and the women and the girls aren't the ones that that are able to come out to those types of things. And so they are the ones that really do all of the work in the community, but receive the least amount of benefit from anything that happens to come along.
So one of the things we've noticed is the Wish Youth Center is just a wonderful space, and a lot of boys and young men are there all the time. There are a few girls, a few young women who are there as well, infrequently, but more so it's boys and young men. And so one of the reasons and one of the barriers for women coming is that they have all of these responsibilities, cleaning clothes, washing clothes, taking care of food, taking care of siblings. And there's also kind of an element of protection that the families want to protect the young women. And so an open space like that is not seen as a safe space. And so every Saturday afternoon now, we close the youth center down to all the boys. Let me tell you, the first time we did that, they were pretty angry. I think they were throwing rocks. I think Quest was there, and they were not happy about that. But it's a time for young women ages 12 to 16 just for them to come, a safe space, a time where they are the focus. And we have some wonderful Haitian young women who are overseeing this program now, and they do crafts, they do games, cooking, they made soap, they watch movies, they have seminars and discussion time. And one of the reasons that that's just so important for me is we know in Genesis that we hear that God created us all in his image, male and female, we're created in his image. And we know that sin has come into the world and it breaks the way that we see ourselves and it breaks the way we see others. And we don't just see that in Haiti, we see that all around us. And I know that there is power in the gospel, that there is good news in the gospel, and that God can redeem that brokenness that's all around us. But sometimes we have to do our part. And sometimes we have to stand up and we have to create space for young women. And we have to say, you are an image bearer of the Holy One. And you are worthy, not for what you do, not for what you do for men, not for what you do for your family, but because you are created in the image of God and you are beloved and you are welcomed here. And so this is our prayer for the young women. I'd invite you to join us in praying for them every Saturday afternoon, that they will receive the message that they are beloved daughters of the Holy One.
My eyes are all...
You made me tear up.
This next Haitian proverb, Saki patueu li angrasu. And what does not kill you fattens you, or strengthens you, really. And so we should be standing up here as very large people, because we have learned an awful lot of lessons and we're still alive. Thank goodness. But again, we've learned an awful lot of lessons. There are times when we really need to pay attention to what God's telling us. And we have guidelines to work within. Wish has a very good mission statement, and it's something that that we are very happy to work within the bounds of that. And but at the same time, too, we as individuals and as a couple really need to listen to the heart of God and hear what he's telling us.
So sometimes we've learned a lesson, and yet we don't have the courage to stand up and say no. and to be culturally appropriate in our community. And one of those lessons has to do with teams. And we know that it's so important for when teams to come to our community, to be truly invited into the community means that relationship is so important. Here in North America, we're very individualistic, and we're used to this kind of managerial can-do spirit. But in a country like Haiti, it's a very community-minded culture. And so when teams come in and say, I'm going to do this great thing, look at all the money I have, and look at the resources we're bringing, and look at the expertise we have, that's not always well received in the community because there's no attempt to build a relationship. So this is a dental team, and they're from Canada, and for whatever reason, we're about 22 of them, and what they're in is a speedboat, and so that goes back and forth to the mainland. You can charter it for some money, and it just takes 30 minutes to go back and forth to the mainland. So this dental team, they were staying at a resort on the mainland. I'm all for that, putting your money into the economy. But they didn't want to overnight in the community of Anse-Gallet. They flew in on 3 private planes. They had us ferrying them back and forth so they could do their service, and then they were going to fly a boat back to the mainland and then repeat that. And what happened? And I knew that was not the appropriate thing for our community, and yet when I talked to the leader and I said, no, this isn't going to work for us, and he kept pushing me and insisting. And so finally I was like, oh, well, what harm can it do? But you know what? We don't know the harm that it did, but we do know that it's important for us to come in with a posture of humility and that we're learners and that we're not the experts. And anytime we allow people to parachute in and then parachute out, we are not building God's kingdom. We are not being his hands and feet. We're being arrogant. And we're not being culturally appropriate. So we love sharing our ministry. We love sharing Haiti with people from North America and with churches. But we are so thankful for Quest and their commitment to relationship, and not just one time.
So where do we go from here? As I don't know if it was said earlier or not, but we're home on like a partnership development time right now, and as we prepare to go back for another couple of years, what's in store for Wish? And Wish has some incredible projects on the go at the moment. The water line that I spoke about earlier is in need of refurbishment. It's been in the ground for 25 years, and it's been providing water every single day. And it is, some people call it a unicorn, it is a miracle that the water flows without a diesel motor to pull up the water out of the ground. It simply flows by gravity into that community. But it does need a lot of work, and we have 18 public fountains, and so we have a program where these fountains are being sponsored, and we're asking people to partner with that. We also have a solar project on the go that is very close to being fully funded and well on the way to completion. We have the panels and all the equipment pretty much in Haiti. All the infrastructure is already built, and we're just waiting on the last kind of few pieces of that. We still need about $18,000 for to purchase batteries, and then the first phase of the solar program will be complete, and that is such a key part to what Wish does down there. We run diesel generators right now, and it takes about $5,000 to $6,000 a month just in diesel fuel. So if we can eliminate the diesel fuel, that's a huge amount of money that we can pour back into the ministry. We have an ice house, which is a really unique thing for an NGO, non-government organization like Wish, in that context, because we're actually generating income that goes back to pay the bills that the ministry has every day. And so for Wish to be able to generate that kind of income, provide jobs, we have over 20 people employed by Wish that provide for their families, and we would love to see that increased and more families provided for, but we want to do it in a way that is sustainable and that will allow families to provide a living wage for themselves and for those that are around them.
So as far as our family goes, we are on partnership development. And so WISH does supply a lot of our needs in Haiti and our housing, and we're thankful for that. But we have to come up with a lot of our own support. Right, thank you. And so that's one of the reasons we're traveling right now, and it's been a great opportunity to meet people and to share the ministries of WISH and to continue to raise our personal support. Our goal is to go back January 6th. And in order to do that, we have to have our funds in place. But we are really thankful for churches like Quest who are committed to so many of the ministries of WISH and so many of the ministries in the community of Anse-Galette. And we know that we wouldn't be there without your support. So we thank you for the support you've given to the community and the encouragement that you've given to us. Every month, I put out a monthly newsletter. And it just tells a little bit about what our family's doing and some of what WISH is doing in the community. We'd love to have you sign up if you're interested in following along. We also have prayer cards, and we really appreciate all the prayer. It is so humbling when I meet somebody for the first time and they say, "I've never met you, but I pray for you every single day." Wow, thank you. Because we need it and we feel it. And so we have prayer cards there, and we'd love to have you take one. Our daughter, Gael, is our only child going back with us in January. It's going to be lonely without Peterson, and it's going to be lonely without some of the other families that have been there in the past. So we really appreciate your prayers for Gael as we transition back in January. And our son Peterson is in college now, and so this is his first semester, so we'd really appreciate your prayers for him as well. And as we go back, I hope we've shared a little bit of our heart today and how important it is for us to step back from kind of dictating what happens on the ground and to working more in community. But man, that's tough. And there are instances and situations that happen every single day that test us in our commitment to that. So we'd ask for your prayers for us, that we would really seek wisdom from God and discernment, and that we would walk in humility and encourage to do what he's asking us to do. And we thank you so much for your encouragement and for your love.
Thank you, guys. All right, as the band comes forward, I want to stop and just have us join together and pray for them. As they go back to a nation that is one of the most unique places on the planet, it's still in a lot of civil unrest. Things are up and down. Things are a little interesting. So we need to pray for the nation as a whole. We need to pray for the island of Laganov and for the city of Anse-Galette and for the Saline and for the school and you name it, right? And all that Robin and Beth and Gael and their family, even by extension, are still doing. So I think one of the great privileges of our church I think one of the great privileges of our church is Haiti and really our partnership with WISH. It's one of the great things he's given the privilege of this small church to be connected there. It blows my brains. So, and these two have been an incredible connection for us. And have become friends to all those who have gone and will go. Because some of you haven't been there yet. And guess what? You'll be there in the next few years. So buckle up and get ready. All right? So let's pray. Father, we do want to pray that your hand would move in that nation. You just continue to lift it up. Father, I pray that you would raise up leaders from among the Haitians who would be profoundly committed to the good of people. And they would radically make changes that would bless people. And we pray that on all levels. We pray that in the city of Anse-Galette, and we pray for to raise up leadership, even then within WISH, of Haitian leadership that would build dignity among the people and bless them. And so as Robin and Beth go back and Gael go back, would you prepare
a path? Would you take out as many of the rocks in that path as possible so that they would be able to build community, be a part of community, to raise up people, that you would be glorified and honored? We pray for the pastors of that community, that you would give them a heart for the people, increasingly give them a heart for people, and that the church would be a light on a hill in a place that has much darkness. And so would you now really supply what Beth and Robin and the family need as they prepare to go back, and would you then use them in a very unique way? So thank you for the blessing it has been this morning for us to be together, family, and that we together as family can make a difference. And so we give this to you, and we honor you, and we just give you thanks in the name of Christ. Amen.